that type of motivation will be gone. Imagine a society where if somebody built a house that was as big as a church, people would gather around and say, "Oh, this guy's got some strange ideas here. What's why is he doing this?" You know.
So, yeah. Edison's case, he really got caught up in the glamour of his invention. Along the way, he got so stuck on what he could do that he got in the way of the progress of electrical science. Whereas Tesla was a little more, you know, innovative about it because of the current force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tesla was poor.
Tesla and Edison were both totally different. If they'd have worked together, they would have changed the world. But it's too bad they kind of become competitors because Edison was a great businessman.
Tesla worked for Edison when he first came.
Right. But he was a great businessman, but Tesla had absolutely no business sense at all. Yeah. But yet, Edison was a hard-nosed businessman, and if they would have worked together, they could have really done a lot.
Westinghouse, and he came up with the AC,
yeah,
alternating current, and Edison just would not get away from direct current.
That's right. That was Tesla. Tesla came up with AC.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
Westinghouse financed the beginning of General Electric.
Everything we have today is pretty much due to Tesla. That light bulb wouldn't have went anywhere without Tesla's AC.
That's right.
See, and Tesla wanted to give free power to everybody, and because of Westinghouse funding him and Edison, they took the money.
He created every single thing in that system, like for the first power plant in Niagara, like generators, everything.
Now, if Tesla was born in a Zion society, where there was brotherhood and acceptance and encouragement for service and things like this, he could have went a long way. He was like, it's like he came from a society like that and thought it should be here now. And so he worked from a very altruistic level and it just didn't work for him. Whereas Edison was more like a hard-nosed businessman, understood the selfish individual and what to do to get ahead. And so he was more able to work with what is. You know, whereas Tesla was more of an idealist, you know, so it's interesting.
I think that there's no really indispensable individual. I mean, none of these individuals would be indispensable. I think the author Robert Heinlein, the science fiction writer,
I think
he stated the principle. He says, you know, when it's time to railroad, someone will invent, you know, the train.
That's right.
When it's time for a light bulb, somebody will invent the light bulb.
Right, and you know, there's a lot of argument over whether or not there's free will. There's free will, but there's certain cycles that will happen. This planet will live, and it will eventually die and will disappear, and no matter how we exercise free will, we can't prevent it from happening. We can't prevent the sun from eventually burning out. We can't prevent the cycles from marching on. But within the cycles, we can cooperate. And when we cooperate, there is a reward. Anybody want to know what that reward is? When you get a sense of purpose, now you may not, when the person gets a sense of purpose, he may not like look through the conduit and see the higher worlds and say, "Hey, I see that purpose." But he'll just get an impression. Like Cheryl got the impression she was supposed to do this service. Feels really good about it, you know. And why does she feel good about it? Okay, what happens when you get a sense of purpose and then go with it?
Fulfillment.
Fulfillment? There's another word. Three letters.
Joy.
Right.
I wanted to say that.
The scripture reads, man is that he might have joy. And when we have joy, joy comes from getting a glimpse of purpose and then cooperating with that purpose. We can either cooperate with it or do nothing or fight against it. We have those three choices. Do nothing, cooperate, or fight. If we fight against that purpose, it may delay it, but it will still manifest. If we do nothing, then it does nothing and it will still manifest. If we cooperate, then we move the purpose ahead so the purpose will manifest a little bit earlier than it otherwise would have. Zion will materialize, a society of brotherhood and love and kindness and abundance, and everything the prophets have dreamed of for thousands of years will manifest. And we can either cooperate and see the vision and guide it ahead, we can do nothing, or we can fight against it. And in the end, the scriptures say this, it makes an interesting statement that people will be divided over the creation of Zion in the fact that they will either work for it or against it. The time will come when there will be no neutral people. When Zion begins to manifest, people will not be able to be neutral. They'll either have to take a side one way or the other. We can be neutral on things we still have ideals about, that are still in theory. But when something comes and really starts to manifest, then you can't be neutral anymore. Just an example is World War II, going back to that. That was a great example. Is World War II, who is neutral in World War II?
Switzerland.
There were some nations like Switzerland, but even the people in Switzerland, even though they claimed to be neutral, the individuals were thinking, boy, I sure hope this side wins. You know, it depends on where they had the most money invested, probably.
It was either Norway or Finland.
What's that?
Either Norway or Finland.
Norway was definitely in the war.
Yeah, they were. Norway and Finland were in the war. The only really neutral one, I think, was Switzerland, if I remember right.
Well, there was, when Hitler went up, it was one of those three that are right there together. When Hitler went up and started threatening in that direction, one country said, we can't protect you, so we're going to send you to the neutral one that was the other one, and then everybody kept their lands for them, so when the war was over, they came back and had everything already in place.
Hmm.
So there was one that was neutral and one that sent them over.
I know Norway, they had...
Stuff in Norway.
I can't remember Sweden, what their situation was. Yeah, I think Norway put up a fight for about 2 weeks. But let's take Hitler and Nazism itself. Nobody, whether they be in Switzerland, Australia, Sweden, nobody was neutral on Hitler and Nazism. I mean, everybody had an opinion on it. And even the bankers in Switzerland, they either wanted Hitler to win or lose, one or the other. I'm sure they weren't neutral on that. But he was a great example of a person on the negative side that divided people, so nobody could be positive or negative. And I'm sure on the positive side, Jesus was the same way. When he was here, everyone who encountered him in the Bible were either just couldn't stand him, or they loved the guy, one way or another. Hardly, you couldn't find anybody that was neutral. Pilate tried to be neutral, but even he wanted to set Jesus free. But, you know, the pressure on him caused him to try to just wash his hands, called for a bowl and wash his hands, and claimed that he was free of his blood because he was just turning it over to the powers that be there. So when an idea begins to manifest that's in alignment with purpose or totally against purpose, like Hitler was, there will be a division. There may be a handful of neutral people, but not very many. There will be a division. Whenever there's something that comes to humanity that will move us forward, there's very little neutrality. Well, let's take the Internet. When the Internet first came, you had the old folks say, well, I don't want that dumb Internet. You know, I don't want these computers. They just mess up things. And so the people that didn't want to change just spoke negatively of computers, Internet, everything. And so we had a division. We had the Internet people and the computer people and then the non-computer people. We had a division between these two. And the old old style people. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of writers that use typewriters until just recently. Even Tim Woodward, a recent local journalist, I remember just a few years ago, he finally gave up his typewriter. And so, what's a conservative writer? Will, what's his name?
Buckley?
No?
Rogers?
This old conservative writer. I think he still uses a typewriter. And there's a handful of people still use legal pads and write longhand. You know. But the computer revolution, the ideas have separated the people from the people that are computer savvy to people that just want to resist, you know. But every new idea that comes divides the people into two categories. First of all, you have people that are enthused, people that are negative, and then people that don't care. But the people that don't care gets smaller and smaller and smaller as the idea begins to permeate. So the people that don't care about computers, 20 years ago when I first got into them, when was it, 1884. What? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. 1984. I bought my first Mac back then. Back then, people thought you had a screw loose if you spend a couple grand on one of those newfangled machines, you know.